In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. I would like to meditate tonight on a verse from the Catholic Epistle reading that the Church will share with us tomorrow in the Divine Liturgy. It is taken from James chapter 4, verse 7. And the verse reads as follows. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, our discussion tonight is going to be about resisting the devil and how can we successfully resist the devil. Ever since the beginning of time, we have an encounter with the evil one from the first two chapters in the book of Genesis, we can see that there is an immediate conflict. God, in His love and in His wisdom, creates the whole world. And when He creates Adam and Eve, they are immediately tempted. And they fall into the temptation. They do not hear the words of God, who allowed them to eat from every fruit and tree in the garden, except from the fruit of the knowledge, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then comes the devil, who is disguised in the form of a serpent, and he tempts Adam and Eve, and they eat of the fruit, and they both reject God's commandment in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. And they heed to the devil, and they fall into the temptation. And God is not pleased with their action, but in His holiness and in His goodness, He promises them salvation. And He gives both Adam and Eve some kind of discipline because they have not heeded from Him, and they have not listened to Him, and they are both taken out of paradise and taken into the world. And as we read in Genesis chapter 3, that the fall of man and woman, both together, and by the way, they are equally at fault into falling into temptation. And the Lord tells them, He says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman the Lord said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, etc. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So, again from the very first chapters of the book of Genesis, we find a conflict between humans and between the devil. And the contention continued throughout history, all the way up to our present day. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee away from you. So the first mistake that Adam and Eve fell into was that they did not resist the devil, but they heeded to his voice and they did not listen to God's words and commandments. The book of Isaiah gives us an idea, and this is a very common question, about the fall of the devil. What happened to him? So Isaiah just gives us a very brief summary of how the devil was exalted in Isaiah chapter 14, starting from verse 12, and which reads the following: "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations! For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" So it is exactly the same temptation that he came with to Adam and Eve. If you eat of this fruit, God doesn't want you to become like him. But if you eat of this fruit, what will happen to you? You will become like the Most High. So the first sin of pride, or feeling that he is at the same level of God, or he could even be above God's throne. So what happened to him when he said, "I will ascend above the highest of the cloud, I will be like the Most High"? "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." So it ends in verse 15. So this is a very brief history for those who always ask, what happened to the devil? He went through a certain time of time where he could be could fall, or he could pass this test, and unfortunately he passed. He did not pass. He fell, and he was brought to the deepest parts of Sheol, of Hades, and the devil, or the angels that passed this period and remained in the fear of God and love of God, are those who are in heaven now praising him and glorifying him. The church does not believe in the salvation of Satan. That's it. He's being condemned forever to Sheol, as per this verse and also many other verses in the New Testament, that the place of Hades, or afterwards hell, is the everlasting torment where those who did not believe in the living God will be with him forever and ever, ever, and they will stay in this lake that is fire and brimstone, where the throne of the devil is unto eternity. Moving a little bit forward, we find that even in the time of our Lord Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, beginning of the Gospel of St. Matthew, we find that the evil one is still coming back and trying to tempt our Lord Jesus, to make him fall in sin. Of course, we know that our Lord Jesus never committed any sin. But still, it could be a temptation of the mind, of the thought, a real and physical temptation. Anyhow, just like the evil one comes to all of us to tempt us, he tried to go to our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In those days, in the first century, the wilderness was believed or known as the abiding place of the evil one, of the devil. So those actually, just like the early monks who were going to the wilderness, they were expected to face even stronger temptation of the devil. So those who went to wilderness were those who were going to get into a much deeper relationship with God, to get to know him, to get on a more spiritual level, but also to expect to be tempted very strongly from the evil one. So that's why the verse plainly says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit. So it was the Spirit of God who led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it was expected, or it was known, that once he enters into the realm, or the adobe, the place where the devil is, he was definitely going to be tempted by the evil one. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. So he was weak and feeble, but at the same time he was spiritually very strong. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered that said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And our Lord Jesus gave us a very beautiful hint on how we may resist the evil one. So he will come to us from areas that we don't expect, from areas of our weakness. But we have to be ready with his word in order to respond to him. Some people may feel that resisting the devil is basically having some kind of a secular plan, or just to shout at the devil and you know, to say some words at him. But actually, it's not a formula, but it is abiding in the word of God, abiding in him. And the Lord Jesus was always ready with the scriptures, because this is what the devil, what the evil one is really scared of, is the word of God. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Lord was hungry, and it was a very easy temptation to fall into, because it makes sense. If he is the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, then command that these stones become bread. Very simple, very easy, very straightforward. I am hungry. It is the common thing to do. I can do it. Then why not? But our Lord Jesus resisted the devil, and thus he was able to give us a true example of how we may also resist the devil. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you." So now the devil is coming back and fighting him with scriptures. He said, "Okay, if you're so good in the scriptures, maybe I'll throw at you a verse." And this happens sometimes. Some members of Jehovah's Witnesses, or from other religions, Islam or any other religion, they may come to us and say, "Well, it is written in your Bible such and such about Christ or about his divinity," intending to make us fall into blasphemy or a sense of unbelief, or to weaken our belief. But also we have to be ready again with the word of God, as the devil also said, "In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." All beautiful references from the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. And Jesus also said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." We should not go beyond our limitations. We should not tempt the Lord our God. We should not do something that is foolish just because it said so. We cannot tempt the Lord our God. And then the third temptation, the devil came to him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." These are the three temptations which also Saint John summarizes in his first epistle. Because we need to know and to understand the schemes of the devil, how he may come to us and to try to tempt us. We have to know the way, like in military or in war. If you know your opposition or your enemy, the tactics that you know they are throwing at you, you will be able to resist and have some kind of counter resistance against this enemy. St. John summarizes these three temptations as the following. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So again, we're speaking about the world here as possibly the domain of the devil. So if we love the world, then we cannot have a full love of the Father. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." The three temptations that the devil wanted our Lord Jesus to fall into. Turn stone into bread, lust of the flesh, throw yourself and the angels will carry you, lust of the eyes, and then also worship me, and you have the pride of life, the whole concept of worship and pride. So if we are going to resist the evil one, we need to know his tactics. That he is trying to make us fall into one of these three schemes. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is where it all begins, where many of us would fall into temptation. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, our Lord Jesus also spoke about the schemes or the tactics of the devil. And he spoke about it in terms of the devil who may come concealed to us in the form of false teachers. He spoke about himself as the good shepherd. But there are other shepherds, or how the devil comes as a thief that is hidden. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So there are two extremes here. Either we are going to choose the way of the Lord Jesus, which basically consists of modesty, of love, of sacrifice, of sticking to the true teachings of the Holy Apostolic Orthodox Church, or we are going to look at other thieves, how the devil comes concealed in the form of other teachers who are coming to steal from the sheepfold. And once they steal, they're not going to have any mercy. But it says that this thief will first steal, secondly kill, and thirdly destroy. There is no mercy in the way that these false teachers or the devil comes concealed on them. Thus, we have to be extremely careful that the devil may enter to us from the form of false teachers who are coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Also, he called him the murderer in John 8, verse 44, where he said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But our Lord Jesus, who gave us the truth, people unfortunately did not want to heed to him and to listen to him. Therefore, we have to be careful, because the devil is called here a liar, a murderer, someone who steals, someone who destroys, Beelzebub, Satan. All of these names are extremely evil and opposing to God's will. And we have to be extremely wise in the way that we see how temptation is coming to us. And we have to resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. The word here, to resist the devil and he will flee away, means that it needs to be intentional. It needs that we notice where he is trying to enter to our lives from, and pinpoint and deal with it and give it some kind of radiation that you may kill this virus or this cancer. It's not going to happen if we are negligent about it, or pretend that it's just going to go away. But we have to identify areas of weakness, and we have to deal with it on a personal level, on a family level, and on a church level, and on a work level, and on a community or culture or the entire country level. Let's begin by looking on a personal level. This is one of the most verses that I quote possibly in confession, is the whole concept when someone basically feels that they have fallen into a habit and they can't get rid of it. But we always say, resist the devil and he will flee away from you. Don't just think, well, he has made me fall into this temptation once and twice and three times, that means I have lost the battle and I will continue losing forever. If we are going to successfully resist the devil, it is the promise of the Holy Scriptures and the Word of God that he will flee away from us. The word to flee away from us is like the flies. You know how those little buggers come to us and they keep flying around us. If they land on us and we let them there and we leave them, of course they're going to stay there, maybe lay some eggs and become 1 and 10 and 20 and a million. But if we can consistently, you know, they will eventually leave us alone. We need to have this kind of spray that kills them. We have to find an antidote, some way that they are just going to leave us alone. But if we are just, you know, leave them and say, well, it's a fact, I'm living in a place where there's just a million flies, so I'm going to be infested with flies, then of course they're going to stay on us and dwell on us and not leave us alone. So actually, the word Belizabab, Zobab, means the flies, right? So it's actually called Belizabab, meaning the Lord of the flies. I don't know if you know this interpretation or not, but one of the names of the devil is Belizabab. So that means the Lord of the flies. So every time we think of the devil, we think of these little buggers, the flies. And actually, we cannot give them or give the evil one or the devil more honor than what he deserves. He's a fly, he's just a little fly, right? So, I mean, if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, this little bugger cannot bother us more than what he deserves. Just needs one little, you know, go away, away with you, Satan, just like our Lord Jesus in the temptation. Finally, after the third temptation, he said to him straight on to his face, away with you, Satan, away with you, just leave me alone. I am in the Lord, I am covered in His blood, I am redeemed, and I am, you know, living in His love, and I will never render to your temptation, but I want to live truly and honestly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. Resist him. There's so many other verses that give us a hint into how we may be able to resist the evil one. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 gives us another perspective on how we may resist the devil. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Be sober means do not be drunk. Have some kind of self-control. And be vigilant, meaning to be watchful. When we are sober, is said to the people who maybe drink a lot and they get drunk. And once someone is drunk, and this is true up until this day, many people, once they abuse some substance, alcohol or drugs, it makes them lose their sanity or focus, and they end up committing things that are out of their league, things that they have never thought that they would do. And that's why St. Peter is giving us here great advice, which is to say, be sober, be careful what we put into our bodies, because this could have an effect or an entrance point where the devil could come to tempt us. Be vigilant, be careful, because the devil is not, especially for those who are close to God and are trying to live a righteous life, he's not going to come and say, well, commit adultery or kill someone. Okay, these are big things. But he will come and say, well, what's the difference if I look to the person next to me and in the exam? Small things. What difference does it make if you know, I don't really stand for my faith? Let it go. What difference does it make if you take from you know, a store just a candy or a piece of gum or whatever it is? What happens, what's wrong if you take just one puff out of a cigarette or drink this or do that? Small things that I would say, yeah, it makes common sense to me. Let me just do it. And it's not really going to change me. After all, I'm a good person. I do this and I do that and I do that. But be vigilant is what St. Peter is telling us. Be careful of the little foxes, the small foxes that may enter into the field to eat away at the crop they try to come out of the hole that they came in, but they can't go out because they've already been fed and grown, gone further, so they can't come out, so they end up staying and ruining the whole crop. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Just a scary image, a little bit like a roaring lion means he's hungry. If the lion is roaring, that means he's hungry, he's looking for a nice juicy little gazelle that he may munch on and just feed the rest of his little pride. Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Again, he repeats the same word of St. James. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are also experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everyone is going through temptation. If someone is being tempted, don't think that you are the only one. Everyone else has problems with pornography or problems with temptation of the eye or the lust of the eye or the flesh or arguments. But we have to be vigilant. We have to be smarter. What the scripture is telling us here is that we, because we have the Spirit of God in us, we should be smarter than the evil one. If there is a conflict that is happening in the home between a husband and a wife or siblings over and over again, we should be smarter in the sense that if we have the Spirit of God, we'll be able to resolve it in a godly manner, not allow the devil to come in to interfere with our lives and to make our life always, you know, with arguments and fighting. But the Spirit of God is what should be leading us. We should be sober, we should be vigilant, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He's just walking around seeking whom he may devour. We should resist him. Be vigilant and be think about means how we can just cast him out of our life. It has to be intentional. Be intentional in resisting him. And possibly sit together as a family or as a congregation or as people who have some kind of conflict and pray about it together and say, we have the Spirit of God in us. Why are we in conflict? Why is it that we speak about one another? Why is it that we envy one another? Why is it that we have some kind of jealousy between one another? If the Spirit of God is dwelling amongst us, then none of these things should be present amongst us. It has to be intentional. Resist the devil and he will flee away from you. Meaning, be intentional in identifying areas of weaknesses individually, as a family, as a congregation, or even as a society, and sit down to say, well, if the Word of God is abiding in us, how can we be intentional in resisting Him? Let us also look at some other scriptures. In Ephesians 6:13, again, the same message is reiterated for us again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And also, he is encouraging us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what should we do? To put on the whole armor of God. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, that all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So St. Paul is giving us more or less the same message of resisting the devil, in the sense that we have to stand our ground and to be able to withstand in the day of temptation. So the message here in this passage is to think ahead of time. We are speaking about when the temptation comes to us, how we are going to resist it. But What he is saying here is that we need to be prepared ahead of time by being spiritual individuals, by abiding in the Word of God, by sticking to the church teachings, by partaking of the Holy Eucharist and the sacramental life of the church through confession and repentance. Because having the vaccine ahead of time, now they're speaking about all the H1N1 vaccine, in order to prevent. So prevention is better than treatment, right? So this is what he is speaking about here, so that when the day of temptation comes to us, we can be able to withstand. So if an individual has a strong antibodies and is a healthy individual, when the virus attacks, right, you will be able, the body will be able to counterattack this virus. But if we're already feeble and weak, then when the temptation comes to us, we can easily fall. And this is why we, as a church, we encourage that we remain on the right course. Because it's not a matter of if the temptation is going to come. No, it's when the temptation is going to. It's coming. And each person has some kind of temptation. It could be temptation of the thought, temptation of the eyes, temptation of the actions, immoral behavior, doing things that the evil one really is enticing us, whether it is visible or invisible, things which are seen, and we are thankful to God that many of our mistakes are not evident or seen, because if they were, then none of us would be able to remain in public and appear in front of one another. That's why we say to the Lord, loose and remit all of our trespasses which we have committed knowingly or unknowingly, hidden and manifest, those whom we have done willingly and those which we have done not willingly. Remit unto us for the sake of your holy name, which is called upon us, according to your mercy, O Lord, and not according to our sins. We are thankful to God because He is a compassionate and a loving God, one who cares about His children so much, to the point that He is there to aid and to strengthen. And He has given us all the means to be able to resist the evil one. In the prayer of thanksgiving, the church always prays at the end and says, therefore, we ask and entreat your goodness, O lover of mankind, and all envy, all temptation, all the work of Satan, the counsel of wicked men, the rising up of enemies hidden and manifest, take away from us and from all your people and from this holy table which is yours. But those things which are good and profitable do provide for us. So we are praying to God for aid and for help. And also in the absolution that the church prays at the end of the morning and evening raising of incense, also there's a beautiful prayer that says, ye, O Lord, the Lord who has given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, upon all the power of the enemy, crush his heads beneath our feet speedily, and scatter before us his every design of wickedness against us. For you are King of us all, O Christ our God, and unto you we send up the glory, the honor, and the worship with your good Father, etc. So again, the church is continuously praying for her children to be stronger in resisting the evil one, that he may flee away. We have to be careful, as our Lord Jesus sent out his disciples into the world to teach and to preach. And they came back to him rejoicing and telling him that even the evil spirits are subdued under them. But our Lord Jesus, in his great wisdom, he told them, do not rejoice at this. This is Luke 10 verse 20. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. They returned to him with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said this could be a scheme of the devil, that he, as His Holiness Pope Shenouda once said, the devil could attack us from two ends. Either he will make us fall into temptation and just really not be, not have any kind of conscience, and we fall and we don't care. Like those who are committing various sins and mistakes and really don't feel that they have fallen, or that he could pretend to be the weaker kind. Oh, you have overcome me, you have made me, you know, you really are subdued me under your feet. And then he comes back to us to stand up and say, I got you. So it's like a left punch and a right punch. And in either cases, we find that we fall into temptation. So that's why our Lord Jesus, he told them, I'm glad. I'm glad. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So the Lord is giving us this authority. So that's why when he says, resist the devil and he will flee away from you, because he has given us the ability to overcome, because we have already overcome in his name, in his blood. He has already done it all on the cross. It is finished. When he said, it is finished, it is done, that means he has returned all the souls from Hades and took them into paradise. The first verse that we started with in the book of Genesis, with the Lord's promise that the descendants of the woman will crush the head of Satan, this was fulfilled on this day, and the Lord has given us victory. But he goes back to say, nevertheless, be careful. He has given us this authority, but be careful. Do not rejoice at this. It's not the fact that we have overcome the evil one. Rejoice, more importantly, because our names are written in heaven. The Lord gave us so many tools to overcome the evil one. In our faith, in our dedication, in our love for him, he has done it all on the cross, and this is why you and I have victory. The message that the Lord is sending us today, that we should resist the devil, and not just that, but submit to God. Submission to God. Resisting the devil alone is not enough. But he continues the verse by saying that we should submit to God. We should have respect for God. We should be humble in the sight of God. Because this is the means that we can overcome the devil. If I say, I have the authority and I have the power and I can do it, it's not you and I who can do it, because we are mere humans. We have limited experience. But if we add the fact that in the Lord Jesus we can overcome, and be careful and be sober and be wise in what we say and how we believe, when we submit to God, to his mighty power, he can overcome through us and in us. He says, resist the devil, purify your hearts. Purify your hearts. Also, as in Matthew 15:18-19. Being strong in the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God consists of the following. Because he said, this is how we can overcome this and resist the evil one. The armor of God, salvation, the gospel of peace, truth, righteousness, faith, the word of God, and prayer. This is how we can join together to become victorious over the evil one, to overcome. And the warnings that he gave us were as follows. Being alert, never forget that he is your enemy, the devil is our enemy. We should stand firm in the faith and to live a life of humility, submitting to God in all things, drawing near to God daily throughout our day, repenting of our common mistakes and faults that we may fall into, remaining dependent on the Lord and his mighty power, and putting on the whole armor of God. May our Lord Jesus strengthen us and bless us. And as we look together towards our Lord Jesus, to focus on him and to make him the center of our worship and our life, intentionally resisting the evil one, that he may flee away from us, that we would be able, through a spirit of prayer, to identify areas in our life that we always fall into, and intentionally again say to him, away with you, Satan. Just like he said on this day in the wilderness, away with you, Satan, away. It is enough. We have had conflicts in the home, we have had conflicts with our siblings, we have had conflicts at work, and it's all because of you. We've had personal issues that we've always fallen into, and it's because of you. Now, we will resist you intentionally, and we are going to focus on our Lord. We're going to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, admit to our mistakes and faults, and tell Him, Lord Jesus, You come and rule and resolve. Just like You've given us this power, again, once more, Lord, renew it in us. Even if we've been defeated in the past by the evil one, no longer are we going to have a sense or spirit of failure, but we want a spirit of victory in Your name, because we already have this victory in Your holy and precious name, as You have given us on the wood of the cross. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil. He will flee away from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. God bless us all this evening as we push forward to do His will and resist the evil one, that he may flee away from us. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.